You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Hi, and welcome back to The Jody Show, where I invite you to join me each week as I interview conscious health and life abundance-oriented thought leaders, sharing their journeys, life skills, and wisdom to empower you to achieve harmony and balance in your entire life. Our goal is to help you have fun, make money, and do good for yourself and others. Over the next few weeks, we are opening the vault to the Wayback Machine in 2004 and sharing with you interviews with a lineup of amazing women, such as Marsha Weider, America's Dream Coach, Joey Tamer, a widely acclaimed strategic consultant to technology and media CEOs worldwide, cultural anthropologist Genevieve Bell, a senior researcher within Intel Research, Carolyn Layton, founder of WITI, a.k.a. Women in Technology, Marilyn Tam, formerly the president of Reebok Apparel and vice president of Nike, and Jean Bartik and Kay Mockley Antonelli, two of the first ENIAC computer programmers in the 1940s. I hope that you enjoy these interviews as much as I did. It was such a treat to spend time with each of these incredible women. Today, my guest is Joey Tamer, a strategist, policymaker, dealmaker, and negotiator. Her work includes strategies on entry, exit, capitalization, return on investment, growth, positioning, pricing, distribution, social media outreach, risk assessment, new market and international expansion, due diligence, and intellectual property. Fortune 500 clients retain her to start in-house new business unit initiatives. These have included companies like J.P. Morgan, Sony, IBM, Apple, Hearst, Blockbuster, Technicolor, HarperCollins, Discovery Channel, Times Warner, and the list goes on. Now, this was a very informative interview, helpful to anyone starting a new business or looking for investments or thinking of exit strategies. I hope it helps you find success in your business. Enjoy.
My next guest this evening is an internationally acclaimed strategic consultant. She has helped create wealth for founders and investors of entrepreneurial ventures in Fortune 1000s in the United States, Europe, and China. She speaks at many industry conferences and guest lectures at UCLA. She has published 4 books and over 40 articles. It is my great honor to introduce to you Joey Tamer. Welcome, Joey.
Thank you, Jody.
We have a few questions here that our listeners wanted to ask you. And first off, why have you created a special niche for capital strategies for entrepreneurs in the Fortune 500?
I found that that entrepreneurs can build businesses and without having a clear capital strategy focused on their ultimate exit, they tend to lose control of the company and they tend to often not create wealth for themselves or their early investors if they don't have this planning done early on. In the Fortune 500, new business units are being built with a little bit of risk, usually in new technologies. And their goal is to create enough return on investment, enough ROI, that they can maintain and become a larger and larger division within the Fortune 500 company. If they don't have a clear plan for how to reach that return on investment from the beginning, very often these business units are dismantled.
So don't you also help to build the company?
Yes, of course. I mean, I do all the basic strategies for entry, growth, positioning, distribution, and so on. But uniquely, I focus on a capital strategy from the beginning and keep driving the strategies towards the exit.
Do you find capital for the clients as well?
No. No, I'm not a capital finder. I've never found capital finders that seem to work. I don't have any that I can recommend. I actually believe that the CEO has to find his or her own capital, and that that's, in fact, one of the main jobs of the CEO, is to position the company into the larger market and to draw the capital in and the strategic alliances in. What I do is I advise the clients where to look for capital so they don't waste any time, because they can spend 6 months looking in the wrong place for capital when they're not the suited partner for that capital. They're not at the right stage, or they're not talking to the right people who are interested in their market segment. And then while they're spending 6 months looking in the wrong direction, they miss their window of opportunity, or the competition catches up with them or something. So what I'm trying to do is get them focused on what kind of capital they have to bring in from what sources at the right time, at the right valuation, so that they don't waste any time and they can grow the business in a straightforward manner, creating a valuation that grows at each step. And I teach them how to pitch. Pitching is complex, and I teach them how to pitch for capital based on who they're talking to.
That's really important, because most people in businesses starting off don't know how to actually ask for the money. I think it's important, too, in these relationships when you're getting capital, that it's almost like a marriage, so you want to have a good fit.
Yes, the partnering needs to be really in sync. Mm-hmm. If it isn't in sync, the money won't come. You know, the time will be wasted, and the capitalist will say, well, why don't you come back after you've reached this benchmark? So it doesn't help to look for money in the wrong places.
Okay, now, why does an entrepreneur need strategies for capital?
Well, I've seen entrepreneurs build companies where they actually find money and they grow their business. Sometimes they take too much money, particularly if it's a hot product or a hot market space, and they get offered more money than they need, and they take it. Or they take money too early when they didn't need to take it that early. And what happens is a company gets built, but they lose control of the company. They lose control of the decision-making process. They sit on the board, but they don't control the board decisions. And so the company leaves their control, even though they're a part of it. And then the decisions about how to create wealth out of that company are in the hands of other people than the founder or his vision. So even though I've seen entrepreneurs get money, sometimes get too much money, when it comes time 3 or 4 or 5 years later to create an exit for that company, to take it public or to sell it, the people in control of the company are only maximizing their own return, not necessarily the founders. And so you can actually build a successful company and not create wealth out of it.
Do you see this more with VC funding rather than angel funding?
Well, angel funding is only the first step. Yes, you're generally at a VC level before this happens. Angel funding is a step up to venture capital funding. So usually, yes, you're building a company big enough for venture capital funding. And then the control isn't in your hands as the founder. And, I mean, I'm working with a client now where that happened to him over the last few years. We are rebuilding his core company. And my task is to keep him focused on building and exiting his core business rather than the second business that he built, which he now doesn't have control over. And we'll have perhaps a tenth of the return that he would have had if he had grown it himself. And to make certain that he doesn't take his eye off the ball of the core company to be distracted by opportunities that will damage the core company by focusing on a new business, right? We're trying to keep him focused.
Right.
And to create wealth out of the company that he's had all along.
A lot of people with businesses think that since they are the founders, that they'll have full control, and a lot of them aren't aware of what happens.
Well, there's a lot of capital strategy is about what you offer in exchange for your capital, what kind of capital you bring in. So if the way you set up your board, whether your board is voting based on percentage of ownership or whether your board is voting on a seat, you know, 3 seats, 5 seats, and so on, and who controls those board seats and board votes per seat, has a lot to do with what we have to sort out in the beginning, because that's all done during the negotiation for capital.
So then it's pretty crucial that from the very beginning, they need to, in their business plan, have an exit strategy. and look for look at the end in mind to know exactly how they want the outcome to be.
That's right, and I'm always focusing on that in the initial meetings. What do you mean to build? What kind of life do you mean to have? What kind of exit do you mean to have? And I got an email from a potential client just yesterday that said, I'm just trying to build a revenue channel here, you know, a distribution channel to drive revenue into the company. Why do I need to know what my exit strategy is? Well, if he doesn't know what he's going to do with the company, for example, if he's going to sell it, and he doesn't know who he's going to sell it to, then he's not making a focused decision on how to build his revenue stream and what market to target and what vertical to stay in so that he sells to certain key buyers at the end of 3 or 4 or 5 years. So he needs an exit strategy no matter what. The exit strategy actually sets the path for every strategic decision that we make step by step along the way. And then there are, you know, wonderful, sexy opportunities show up tangentially, particularly once you get visible and the company gets hot. The trouble with that is sometimes those opportunities have nothing to do with stepping up towards the exit. So the distraction of the CEO or the distraction of resources becomes very problematic, because then for 4 months or 6 months or however long, the company's going in a direction that doesn't optimize the exit. And either that deal works or it doesn't, but you've not directed the company towards the creation of wealth.
Now, when people are looking for capital, what kind of capital are available and where did they go to find it?
Well, there's lots of kinds. Some of them are equity-based capital and some are non-equity-based capital. So we should probably talk about the different kinds. Friends and family is usually the first place where people get money. It's a private source of money. And it's just what it calls. It says that family gives you some money or in exchange for stock or lends you money or whatever. And so family and other interested parties get you started. Then there's angel investment. And I won't go through the details of every kind, but angel investment is usually under $1 million, and it's for companies that are usually not with their product or service in the market yet. There are early-stage boutique venture capitalists who will look at companies that have only modest early revenue. And sometimes you're passed along to them by your angel investors. Then there are your normal venture capitalists who are actually looking for growth strategies. You've already got a product or a service in the market. You're making good revenue, and you need the money to expand the business and take significant market share. So those are where the regular VCs come in. Then there are Tier 1 VCs, the famous big guys that we know the names of, and they sometimes step in at the $10 or $15 million mark like the regular venture capitalists, or they wait, and they come in with the, you know, third or fourth or fifth round. You need a Tier 1 venture capitalist if you're going to go public, and you need them the penultimate round before you go public. You don't have to have them earlier, though you can. It just depends on whether the scenario and the marriage fits or not. Then there's strategic capital. Then there are non-equity capital. Non-equity capital is stuff like strategic capital. I was building a company in China. I was building a software publishing and distribution joint venture in China. And I raised $2.2 million from pure deal flow by changing how typical international distribution deals are done. So I changed the terms of the distribution deal and raised $2.2 million in advances from the developers of the product, which is not the way it's usually done. And got to jumpstart the business with over $2 million and no equity left the company. So there are strategic ways to get capital. there are grants of some sort. There are companies that you can promise a certain exclusivity or a licensing agreement with, where they'll give you money for the exclusive rights to the first 6 or 12 months of the product, and they won't take an equity position from giving you that money. So there are licensing fees and distribution deals that can be done. And then there are loans. There's debt. There's SBA loans, bank loans, home equity loans, equipment and receivable loans. So looking at debt, if you handle it very carefully, you can use certain forms of debt as a way to capitalize the business without any equity going out the door. So it's complex. There are lots of places to look for money, not just the most obvious, I'll trade this much of my company for this much money.
I think most of us, we know about angel and then venture capitalists, but when you're talking about the companies with the licensing, that was new. I haven't heard of anything like that. So
yes, I don't see very many people doing actually offering strategies that focus on non-equity capital. It's my favorite way to go, because I like my clients to wait as long as possible to take equity capital, because the earlier my clients take it, then the more of the company they give up. And then they're established at a certain valuation when they're in their weakest position, and then they have to drag the valuation up from there. Whereas if they can get into the market with their product in some other way, and they can create revenue before they even talk about outside capital that's in exchange for equity, they have a much stronger position. They keep more control of the company in terms of ownership and more control of the board, and they're already in the market focusing on their exit.
Yeah, I've seen companies that are early stages that are just trying to get on their feet and end up giving 50% of their company away and
yes.
Before they even get out the door.
Right, right. And so, you know, there is the old saying, would you like to have, 10% of a big pot or 100% of a nothing pot of money and or wealth at the end of the day? But on the other hand, the earlier you give up huge percentages of your company, and generally it's 30 or 35% each tranche, each round of money, the sooner you lose control of the destiny of the business and your own vision about it.
In the early stages when you're developing it, if you don't have any control, then it goes in a totally different direction than what you vision.
It can.
You know, what's the current attitude of investment groups and venture capitalists right now?
Well, at the moment, they're all excited. You know, I run about 3 venture capital panels every year. And so I'm always checking in with them in front of an audience to find out what they're feeling like. And starting, this is 2005, this is March, starting in January, the venture capitalists, particularly the early stage venture capitalists, were very excited because something unusual has happened. What's happened is that they, as you might know, venture capitalists have not put very much money into new ventures in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. or even 4 years, particularly in technology companies. So what's happened is they're excited now to put money into companies because those entrepreneurs who had built businesses during the boom, they couldn't find any money, and there wasn't any interesting work for them, so they bootstrapped their own companies. So they've now built companies with friends and family money or debt or whatever they could put together, and it's 2 or 3 years into the development of the company. They have a product or a service in the market. They have initial revenues, and they haven't gotten any outside money because there wasn't any to find. Now, that's the perfect picture for an early-stage venture capitalist. To find an experienced entrepreneur who's done it before. So during the boom, these techies and tech managers were building companies. Now they're building their second or their third company. They have revenue coming in and an established product or service in the market. And the venture capitalists now need to deploy their capital from their funds, because the venture capitalist funds have a given life cycle, usually around 7 years. So the life cycle is coming to an end for these current funds. So if they don't get something invested this year or next year at the latest, then their funds are not going to show a return on investment that will support them in getting a new fund built, you know, 2 years from now. So the cycle of the venture capitalist is at the end of its cycle. They need to start looking to raise another new fund, and raising that is based on whether their performance of the existing fund of the last 7 years has performed well. So they're very excited to invest money, and because everyone's bootstrapped their companies now, the companies are in the perfect position for investment. One venture capitalist said to me, it feels like 1998 again.
I was going to say that, because in 98 with the dot-com days, I remember a lot of money was being invested. And then it kind of slowed down. And we were just in New York recently, and we've seen everybody's getting investors again. The money's flowing.
It's moving. Everybody's hot to invest it. And that's because we have a synchronization of the need to invest by the venture capitalists, and a slew of companies that have gotten over the scary part, you know, the high-risk part of their development of their company. So it's getting very busy again, and very exciting out there.
Lots of wonderful things happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really appreciate you being here tonight, Joey. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us this evening.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Please join us again next week as we continue our series with some pretty amazing and outstanding women. Be sure to visit jodyshow.com, that's JODYSHOW.com, for replays and guest bios. Until we meet again, have fun, make money, and do good for yourself and others. Enjoy your day.